What's up, and welcome to episode number 110 of the Unknown Games Podcast, where we are we're talking about the video game awards, or the game awards. I keep calling it the video game awards, but we're gonna be talking about the game awards today. And by we, I mean myself, Adrian, and my co-host Alex.
What's up? I'm Alex. Yeah, I think used to be called the VGAs or something like that.
I think it used to be the VGAs when it was like, was it Spike or TNT?
It would have been, it's Spike or was it not G4? It was like Game Trailers? Like, I don't know. I can't even remember. Jeff Keighley does a lot of things. Yeah.
Yo, Jeff, how many times have we seen Jeff Keighley this year?
I don't know. Like, I'm honestly, this year has been kind of blending in with 2020 for me. So when it's like, oh, Jeff Keighley's on stage, and I'm like, which one is this?
Which event is Mr. Keighley on this time? Like, honestly, he's been at the Summer Game Awards, or the Summer Fun, whatever that thing was called. Then there was the other one for Gamescom, and then he also did something earlier. I mean, I feel like we've seen him at least in every season. That's I can honestly say every season.
Yeah,
What
is Jeff Keighley? He is technically a journalist, right?
he was a video games journalist.
But like, what is Jeff Keighley now? He's just like,
I don't know, dude.
Like the Ryan Seacrest of video games?
You know what? He might as well be because like any show that is a video game related, it's like it's Jeff Keighley. Even like the Netflix Geek stuff, when they had that, like he was on there as well.
Yeah.
Like for Netflix, like what is he in?
Was not at TGS for sure, but yeah.
That is the one show he was not at. He was not at TGS in the fall, so we missed our fall appearance of Mr. Keighley, and we'll get him in the winter, in December for the Game Awards on, was it December 9th? There we go, December 9th.
Yeah, it's soon, like in a week or something, right?
Yeah. So we're cool. This episode, we'll be doing our voting. We did it last year, and it was actually a pretty fun episode. I think we went through all the picks, even through like best esports or e-streamer or whatever titles there were. It was actually more fun than I thought.
Sure. Yeah.
But yes, for everyone who is joining us right now, thank you so much. We are live this week on YouTube, not unlistedly live, but we're actually live, so you can see our faces.
I noticed, by the way, we're at 73 subscribers on the YouTube channel. I want to take a screenshot. I actually checked it on the channel. It says 69. I wanted to take a screenshot and just be like, nice. But I didn't. It's too late now. Unless four of you guys unsub, in which if you do, I want to get a screenshot.
don't ask them to unsub. Hey, everyone, no, we want you to sub.
No, that's a problem. Like, speaking of which, that's actually like, you know how a lot of VTubers now, right?
Right.
So
right.
VTubers will do this event where they'll do like a karaoke stream where it's like we'll be doing live karaoke up until I hit like a million subscribers or something like that, right?
Right, right.
So they want to hit like a million live on stream, right?
Okay.
But a lot of these VTubers are like hitting a million or hitting whatever milestone like before the thing even starts. So as a joke, they're just like, unsubscribe right now.
I mean, honestly, the goal was 50 subscribers for this year. I mean, I started humble and now we're at 73. And I got to say, thanks to everyone who's been subscribing, watching the content. We've been putting up extra stuff, things that we weren't doing last year. And probably next year, we're going to be doing some more. I don't want to jinx it.
Ideally, yeah.
I don't
want to jinx anything for next year. Don't want to make any promises, but, you know, it'd be nice to like, to do stuff like outside of like, you know, these rooms or whatever, right? But
yeah, outside the four walls that hold us every day.
Yeah, outside of these boxes here, like
these boxes where we're just trapped inside. Maybe one day we'll actually be like next to each other or something and talking in person. That would be cool, you know.
Yeah,
we have simple wishes. We have simple wishes here. But yeah, thanks for everyone for subscribing. And if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, go ahead, look us up, Unknown Games Podcast. But if you are listening on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, any of those podcasting services or audio services, thank you for listening there. And go ahead, leave a review if you can, if there is, or a like, thumbs up, whatever is there. And finally, be sure to leave a like on this video if you are watching on YouTube. I think I got us covered. Was that it? Was that it?
Sure. I mean, that makes sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also follow me specifically on Twitch.
Uh-oh. Wait, where can they follow you at?
Yeah. I mean, it's on screen. It's on screen now if you're watching the video podcast. But if you're listening, it's twitch.tv/root24. Streaming twice a week. Bunch of random stuff.
I left that awkward silence in there, but... Yeah. For some reason. But no, seriously, I think you were playing FF14, and then you were also playing Tales of Arise. Yes.
Yeah, also I was also playing 14, yeah. But Tales of Arise, yeah.
Just going through like the New Game Plus part of it.
Yeah, I'm going through New Game Plus, and it's like, to make it difficult, I set it to unknown, which is like the highest difficulty.
I saw you just wrecking stuff. You were pulverizing every enemy. It was like two hits on like bosses. I'm like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, so, and I am on the highest difficulty, by the way. Like, I'm not like on easy or anything. I'm on the highest difficulty, but I think the problem is that I'm still like really strong. Like, really strong,
dude. It's actually like the opposite way, really funny, just seeing you just go through and pulverize stuff, because I'm like, oh, this fight would have taken like 5 minutes maybe.
I did a test actually before I did New Game Plus off stream. I was like, how hard is this going to be eventually? And I hopped into the final dungeon and I set it to unknown, and it was like fine. So I was like, okay, I could probably do unknown. But then I realized, just even to get to that point where the game is fine, I need to get to the end of the game. So like, yeah, it's just gonna be an easy ride.
There's nothing wrong with an easy ride. Everyone likes a little bit of an easy ride in life. When you can have it, you know, when you can take it, you take it. When it gets
sure,
hard.
Sure, yeah.
That's take it until it gets hard, you know?
That's the title of this podcast.
Take it until it gets ride. The easy ride. There we go. We always come up with the most natural
Everyone
podcast.
Wants an easy ride, yeah. All right.
Oh, man. So let's go ahead and get on into the game awards. There we go. Which I'm pretty sure at this point, everyone has to know the game awards. I feel like everyone's kind of seen the show, and I think this is the third year, if not the fourth year of the show. And you know, every year they have these crazy cool reveals. This is where Elden Ring was revealed at, and
yeah, honestly, I mean, I don't know, here's the thing about the Game Awards: do you actually like care about the award part of it, or like is the trailer reveal, the game reveal, is
dude,
that the
it's
more...
the trailer reveals,
yeah.
Honestly,
I don't want to be like super cynical about the Game Awards, but like, I feel like at this point it's kind of more of a press event than it is an actual award ceremony.
I mean, honestly, I would say that it has taken the place of E3. Like, E3 used to have all those huge announcements.
Yeah, and I would probably agree with you. Yeah.
E3, yeah. Tokyo, TGS, none of these shows really have like super bomb dropping announcements, but every time Jeff Keighley does a show, at least at one of his shows, he always tries. I mean, this is where we had the the Ark unveiling with Vin Diesel for no reason. Like,
was it Game Awards?
It wasn't Game Awards. Was it Game Awards? It was definitely one of the shows that he was hosting.
I like shit my pants when I saw that, and it's like Ark 2 or whatever with Vin Diesel.
With Vin Diesel, you spend half the trailer going like, "What is this?" with Vin Diesel in it. I mean, he's definitely got so much publicity now for if you want to have an unveiling, you have it here. So anything that is going to be there that is potentially rumored is, you know, it's you got to be here. You got to watch it. If you're a gamer, you got to watch it. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah.
Keighley,
if you're like me, I sleep through it and then I just check Twitter when I wake up.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the Xbox Series X was revealed at games at this thing.
At the Game Awards.
Maybe we'll see Hellblade 2, finally.
Maybe we'll see the Switch 2. No, I doubt it, but yeah.
Not in our life. No, I mean, we're still a couple century away or something. Decades. We're decades away. But it seems like there's a lot of, you know, people on the board. I didn't know Hideo Kojima was on the advisory board. I mean, they're,
well,
you know,
he's
him
like
and Jeff
best
are buddy
friends
buddy.
With Jeff Keighley.
They're buddy.
Like best friends.
Mr. Kojima. He's like, oh, yes, Mr. Kojima. Can I, I've got to show you something. And then next thing you know, it's like Jeff Keighley inside of Death Stranding. And it's like, oh, that was an awesome moment. I hope you all enjoy playing myself in. I was like, what the heck, Jeff? What are you doing, man?
Yeah, I forgot that Jeff Keighley's in Death Stranding. Yeah.
he's in there, you know, in Epic Games and Doug Bowser, which, you know, Phil Spencer from Microsoft and Riot Games. You know, a lot of people from the industry, Rockstar, Sony.
Yeah, these are just like, these are a bunch of, you know, VPs and whatever, presidents of game companies, plus actual game companies like Rockstar.
Yeah.
And Valve.
And Valve. You know, I've been playing some Portal 2, and I've been like, man, I remember when Valve used to make games. They were great.
Yeah, now they just make, shit, what does Valve do?
There you go. Steam Deck. There you go. Steam Deck. They make hardware. They make hardware and Valve, Half-Life Alyx. And Half-Life Alyx. We can't joke
Valve
on it.
Yeah, Alyx, I guess. I mean, like, just with the Steam Deck, Valve is pushing, like, Linux gaming forward, so that's good on them. It's not exciting by any means, but it's still good for the industry, so, I mean, that's a good thing that Valve's doing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, honestly, they've revolutionized a lot of things in the industry in terms of, like, digital storefronts and, you know, flash sales. A lot.
Revolutionized the industry with flash sales. Yeah.
Yo, every time Valve was dropping a hot sale on a Wednesday,
I miss everybody. Flash sale. That's a different conversation, but yeah.
Oh man. But let's go ahead and get into the nominees. We're just gonna go down the list like we did last year, and remember, you can call BS on us if you want to, but because by the time this episode goes up, the show will not have happened. So feel free to write to us on our Twitter at UGP_cast. Let us know like, hey, that's not going to win or whatever you want to do. But you can let us know there or on our Anchor page, anchor.fm. There is a voicemail. We would love to have you send us a voicemail or leave a comment on the YouTube video.
Yeah.
I was going to dare people. I was going to dare people. Like, I dare you to send us a voicemail. I dare you to. No. Yeah. Well, game of the year. I love how it starts with the game of the year. We got 30 categories.
Big, hot. All right, let's go through this. Sorry. Game of the year. It's like the biggest like game award, basically.
Okay. Here we go. Let me size it up. So we have Deathloop, It Takes Two, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart, and Resident Evil Village.
Okay. How many games have you played? How many of those ones have you played?
I have only played It Takes Two.
I played zero of those games, so I can't vote.
Early this year, I was saying, honestly, like, It Takes Two. I played it in probably, like, March, April sometime. It surprised me by how well that game is designed, how much fun it is for a co-op, couch co-op, or, you know, over the internet, whatever. There's just a lot of different varieties of what you're doing, from puzzle solving, like you could expect something like a Portal puzzles, to just exploring and doing medieval, like Diablo style fighting is in this game for some random reason. Escape sequences like like Rogue Squadron, like those old Star Wars games where you would just fly and escape the Death Star. Like that stuff, all this stuff is in here and it goes through so many genres. So it really impressed me. But I have no clue about Village because I played 7 and 7 was amazing, but I didn't hear as much craziness about Village.
I heard Village was good.
It's good. Yeah, I heard it's good.
If I were to vote on one of these games, despite the fact that I've played zero of them, I guess I would have to pick Metroid Dread, but...
That's one I want to play. I know it's only around 8 hours long, but after finishing up Bloodstained, like, and now that I have a Switch, we talked about this last week, like, this is one of the games I actually want to, like, I want to pick it up. Maybe, you know, when I'm back home or whatever, I'll just fly through it, you know. I don't feel like
it's an 8-hour game. You could play that in a day, actually.
Metroid Dread stream or something.
Yeah, if you wanted to. But no, I haven't played any of these games, so I mean, for me personally, just in terms of games that I like, it would be a toss-up between Dread and Village, and I guess it would be Dread. I've seen people play Dread, I just haven't played Dread myself.
Yeah, same here. I've seen people play Dread. Honestly, like, Deathloop was the one I really kept me interested. Even after God knows how many times they showed that game, was still interested in it.
Weird, because I feel like that just fizzled out quickly after it launched.
It did. It had a lot of hype. It came out. It was really... I think a lot of streamers were playing it, and a lot of people were enjoying it, but people stopped talking. It just dropped off.
It was for example, like, you know, when Dishonored came out, Dishonored, like, people were talking about Dishonored for quite some time after release, and they're like, oh, this game's good, and, you know, you can do this in the game, and you can, here's some funny gameplay clips from Dishonored. I kept seeing them, but, like, Deathloop came out, and then I was like, how is Deathloop? And they're like, it's good.
Good.
And then that was it, man.
It was it's a game where it was really highly acclaimed, like critically acclaimed. I think it had a bunch of nines and tens and, high scores, but it seemed like it didn't catch on outside of, it's like the Rotten Tomato. The critic score was high, but the public score was just kind of in the ether somewhere. No one
So
really
this
knows
game
how
came
people like
out
it.
on the PS5 and the PC. Do you think
NPC, yeah.
it hurt the game by not being on Xbox or?
Honestly, I feel like it probably did because it was a g there's two things that hurt it. One, it really should have been on all consoles at that point because it was just we had seen it too much of it. And I think people had gotten fatigued. Deathloop became that one game at every Sony show that if you saw it, you said, "Oh yeah, it's Deathloop again." Okay, they're going to show Deathloop. Okay, whatever. Like it's that I think that became the most detrimental thing to it. So when the game came out, because you didn't know it, but the game is a roguelite. Like out of nowhere, it's a roguelite shooter.
Well, I
You
mean, like, that's in the name, really.
well, it is. It is technically, yeah. And I guess maybe I just didn't understand that from what I was looking at every time. I thought you were just going through different loops, but which is a roguelite. Gosh.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess well if we have to give it to anything, Dread seems like a good shoe-in.
So you're gonna say Dread. Your call is Dread as well.
I feel like Deathloop, if they go with critics kind of thing, Deathloop gets this, but
I think no, I think
Ratchet and
Dread
Clank.
wins. I think Dread wins for critic score and user score, so.
I think we can be safe on Dread. Because you know why? We ain't had a Metroid game in how many years? Oh gosh, let me sign in. Let me
Like a
sign
while, yeah. Also, and
in. Yeah,
I
when
don't
was the
know.
last Metroid game?
I don't know, man.
I'm trying to think. Like, Other M. Was it Other M on
Oh my, Other
Wii
M was on
U?
the Wii.
Like Wii U? That was at Wii U,
No,
right?
was it Wii U? I thought it was
I think it was Wii U.
maybe it doesn't matter because no one liked it.
Exactly. That I think that was the last one we had. We're gonna show our support for the Metroid Dread. So we
The
got
game that I
Metroid.
never the game that I never played, but
We games
okay,
we
yeah.
never played. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Psychonauts 2 and Ratchet and Clank kind of fare in there because Ratchet and Clank was actually a lot of people really did have a lot of fun with it. And Insomniac has been going in pretty insane this year with a lot of their games. So, okay, we earned
All right.
a badge.
Next category.
How the heck can I go to the next
That
category?
means there's a button that says next category.
Oh, it does? Oh, thanks, Keely. Best game direction. Deathloop, It Takes Two, Returnal, Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, and Psychonauts 2.
Best game direction.
You know that
Fuck, I don't
Returnal.
know.
You know that Returnal, man.
I haven't played
But
any
It
of these
Takes Two
games.
was so good.
I'm so out of touch for this stupid
This
year. Like, I haven't played
is
any
what
of these
we
games.
even last year, I think we didn't play a lot of games until we got down to like the RPGs and fighters or
Yeah, apparently I don't play Western video games. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if this was being like run by Famitsu or something, I would be way more familiar with all these games. But like, nope, I haven't played these games, man.
This is actually a hard one. Honestly, I feel like Returnal came out with because a lot of these games I watched streamed, right? I watched three of these games stream, Ratchet and Clank a little bit, Returnal and Deathloop. I didn't even know when Psychonauts 2 came out. I'm sorry, it's on Game Pass. I heard
I'm
it's
gonna say
really
Ratchet
great.
and Clank because there's something with the world tears and the PS5 loading, so that sounds cool to me.
You want the world tears over Ret do Returnal was hype, bruh.
I actually
Returnal.
didn't see. I haven't
Actually,
seen. I haven't seen any of
I'm
Returnal.
yo, I'm actually surprised Returnal didn't get up for Game of the Year. That's how
I
much
haven't
hype it
seen
had
it.
around it.
That's PS5 exclusive, right?
It's PS5 exclusive, yeah.
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 Okay.
So maybe that factored into it,
Well, I mean,
along with
so is
Ratchet
Ratchet
and
and
Clank.
Clank.
So is Ratchet and
So.
Clank, yeah. So I mean, best game direction. I wanna go for Returnal. I
Go
wanna
for it.
support
I
Mark.
actually, yeah, I'm
You're
gonna
gonna go.
like, I'll leave it to you. I literally have no idea, like, about any of these video games, so yeah.
Okay. I mean, basically, it's another Metroidvania. It's another Metroidvania.
Okay.
Except for the last game was actually Metroid, so it's not a. I was listening to a podcast and someone was like, "How can some people be like, oh, Metroid is a Metroidvania?"
I mean, it's in the
Like,
name. It's in the name, yeah.
but they're just like, "Oh yeah, have you played a Metroidvania?"
Best narrative, cool. Fuck me, man. This is the
Dude, It
worst
Takes
thing.
Two is in here. Deathloop, It Takes Two. Life is Strange, True Colors, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and Psychonauts 2. We have a lot of crossovers here. Like, some of these games are just, like, multiple.
Why don't we just say Life is Strange? Because I know that's a basically... That the game is a story, essentially.
But, and this is the craziest thing. From what I've seen of Deathloop, the story, it has interesting lore. It definitely has that Arcane, Dishonored, you know, that back lore that's there. But I didn't really like the front-facing story that I was getting. Whereas It Takes Two was just, if I have to see that book again, I will kill it. It's okay. It's about a couple getting a divorce.
That's what It Takes Two is about?
Yeah, it's a couple getting a divorce, and you are, they get shrunken because their daughter's like, I wish mommy and daddy would be friends again, and they have to work together to repair their bonds of friendship to then become, I guess, respecting each other. So they literally learn the lesson of, you know what, you used to have this hobby.
Hobby. That sounds good to me.
Nah, man, the Guardians of the Galaxy, son, that's the one.
Okay, sure.
I've watched this game twice almost streamed, fully.
Is it really good?
It's actually really good. This is the most video game of the year. Literally, it's from the 2000s. QTEs, kill rooms, collectibles, and Mass Effect-like combat for no reason.
So, you have infinite ammo or something?
You have infinite ammo.
Oh, no. So, infinite ammo was Mass Effect 1. Sorry. Mass Effect 2 and 3 had limited ammo, but you just, like, picked it up off the ground or something like that.
It's basically that. But the thing is... They don't stop talking from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. It is written like a Guardians film, but better. Because it includes all the comic, nice little, just all this flair in it. For me, I have to give it to them. But we can do Life is Strange.
I literally haven't played a single one of these games, man. So like,
I mean, I haven't. Well, I've played one, but.
Yeah.
We need a coin toss app.
You can use your phone or whatever. You can use your phone.
I don't think I have one installed.
Oh, you can use your smart assistant. Your smart assistant will just be like, flip a coin, and then your smart assistant will do it for you.
Okay, here we go. Hey, Google. Everyone's phone is going to go off now.
I'm so glad I'm wearing earphones right now.
Sorry, everyone. If your phone's going to go off, it's going to happen. Hey, Google. Yeah. Flip a coin. I guess heads is going to be... Heads will be Life is Strange and tails will be Guardians. Okay, here we go. Flip it again. Here we go. It's tails. It's tails.
Yeah, that's more than Guardians.
Okay, Guardians. Okay. Thanks, Google. Oh, God. I don't want to keep saying Google anymore.
Yeah, you have to, like, apologize to, like, everyone who's listening.
This person. Did we vote is submitted? I love how you can unsubmit your vote.
Yeah, just like I changed my mind. Fuck that game.
Just change it. Next up is best art direction.
Okay.
The Artful Escape. I don't know. There was a game with literally the art in it. Deathloop, Kena, Bridge of Spirits, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. How many of these games have we seen like for the umpteenth time?
Hey, no offense, like I think this year sucks.
How many games came out this year? I mean, honestly, when I think about it, games that made huge releases, Deathloop, I don't think Guardians made a huge release, but a lot of people are playing it, and it really surprised me. Kena, of course, was a big one. Ratchet and Clank was kind of big when it came out. I don't think It Takes Two was really that big, honestly.
Oh, man, I don't know. Art direction? Kena looks pretty nice.
Hit the Kena?
Yeah.
I think her name is actually... for some reason, it's spelled Kena, but when you hear it in the game, it's like, Kena. You're like...
Kena? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's hit like, Kena.
Hi, Kena.
Yeah, the game looks... Fuck me, man. I haven't played any of these games.
I did play Kena, and it's actually... It's that Ember Labs' first game... or a commercial game, and it really is like a Pixar type deal, and we talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah, so that, yeah, looks good to me. It looks good to me then.
It's
yeah,
a good
hit
game.
It.
Yeah, we yeah, hit it.
Let's do it.
God, why are there 30 categories?
Right, so this, many, yeah.
Here we go. Best score in music, and I think Guilty Gear Strive got robbed on this. GG Strive should have been up on this.
Yeah, it should have just been Strive. It should be the only fucking game.
It should
you
be
can
the
pick.
Only one.
But oh, okay. Replicant. Finally, a game that I played Cyberpunk as well. Finally. God damn it. Yeah, so Replicant. Replicant.
Okay, so we've got the Artful Escape, Cyberpunk 2077. Was that this year?
Wait, was that this year?
No, that was last year. That was
end of
last year.
Yeah.
Deathloop, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and then Near Replicant.
Yeah, just Replicant.
For me, I feel like Replicant gets this just because it hits on so many. It's Near. I don't think Near has ever dissatisfied anybody with their with its music, except for you know, our boy Fudge. I'm blanking on his name. What's his Yoko Taro? Yeah, Yoko Taro was like, he put out a tweet when he saw this. He's like, yeah, Mr. Okabe, he's rich enough as it is. Don't give him more money.
Well, it's not like he gets money from winning the award or anything. But
don't
yeah.
give him more recognition.
Yeah.
So yeah, what you want Nier?
I mean, agree. You played Automata and you're like, this soundtrack is good.
It's
Replicant
good.
Is the
it's
same
great.
Deal. It's the same deal, dude. So,
it's
yeah.
the same deal. Yeah. Definitely. I will have to say that I have listened to the Guardian soundtrack about 20 times. It's good. They legit created their own band for this game.
I mean, for Guardians?
For Guardians, yeah. They created
a
band.
They did kind of the same thing for Cyberpunk. Like, Cyberpunk has, like, a fictional band in it. So.
Ah, that's right. Maybe that's what this one is. You know what? Maybe that's what that was. No one cared on Cyberpunk. Bye, Cyberpunk. So we got the Nier Automata. Replicant, sorry. Nier Replicant. And Best Audio Design. Deathloop is in how many categories?
Like a lot.
It's been in everyone we've said so far. Forza Horizon 5, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, Resident Evil Village, and Returnal.
Rezzy? I don't know.
This one I can't even tell you. I don't even know what. Like the audio design in Resident Evil 7, it was like, I guess if I was playing in VR, it would have been a different experience, but it was okay. It wasn't like insane. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the horror from a Resi game comes from like the tension and the atmosphere, and audio design is part of that, right?
It is.
I just haven't played Village, so
me either.
I'm just guessing.
Man, this is like a year where we have to mark each of these games and be like, I mean, here's the thing, and in honesty, like Deathloop, we can play Deathloop on PC, but if we didn't have a PC, like two of these games we couldn't even play. Ratchet and Clank and Returnal, three of them we'd be like locked out of.
No, like Forza's on PC, Death is on PC, and Village is on PC. So
I was saying if we didn't have a PC though.
Oh, we didn't have a PC.
If we didn't have a PC, like
and we only had a console. Then
yeah, we only had consoles. Yeah. Kind of a rough life right here. You know, we can give it to Res Village. The Re-Village.
We're like totally guessing at this point because we just haven't played these games.
I mean, here's the thing. Returnal, I hope it wins this. We're going to vote differently, but I hope it wins this because that was one of the things that Housemark like legit tried to do as best as possible is try to cue like how do we tell players that there's an enemy behind them using, you know, 3D audio, sound, whatever, when there's so much crap going on, because literally it's a 360 degree shoot 'em up, like bullet hell that's happening.
Yeah,
so they want you to be able to dodge. It's really crazy looking, but you know, we gotta support our Japan here. We gotta support
our Japan. We gotta support our Capcom.
We love you, Capcom.
Capcom, if you're listening, I don't know.
Give us
like free promo codes to Pragmat or whatever it is.
Yeah. Whenever 2023, I got delayed, but you know, maybe we'll see some more from Pragmata. Like maybe we'll see like a something there.
Like a trailer, maybe this
another trailer.
The Game
like
Awards,
actual.
Yeah. Sweet.
Best performance. Who are these people?
Let's, Village, obviously Village.
No, hold on. Oh wait. So let me leave. Okay, so Erica Mori as Alex Chen in Life is Strange: True Colors. I think that's probably a really solid one. Can y'all read names for me, chat people?
I can't read. I can't pronounce any of that. But
I wish. Wait. There we go. Far Cry 6, Anton Castillo. I think he's the main protagonist or antagonist. Jason Kelly as Colt Van in Deathloop. That was a great. I enjoyed his VO right there. Maggie Robertson as Lady Dimitritsu in RE Village. And I feel like a horrible being because I can't read names as well.
Yeah. If it's like that, oh my god, I don't even, I'm not even going to attempt.
I don't want to disrespect people's names, but another person from Deathloop for Juliana Blake. So I believe that is the main person who's trying to kill Cole or Colt.
So two Deathloops in here.
Two Deathloops, Resident Evil, Life is Strange, True Colors, and Far Cry 6, which was a big release this year as well. But I don't think it – I honestly don't feel like Far Cry went over that well. There were some odd – there might have been some issues with it, but I guess it was just more Far Cry, maybe, was the thing.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Like, I heard it's just very Far Cry-y. I don't know.
Just more Far Cry.
It was just good if you like Far Cry, but
I mean, we got to give it to mommy here. Ehe would shame us if we didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think lots of people loved her performance. They love her character. When she showed up in the first trailer, they're like, "Wow, very tall vampire lady. I want you to step on me." And I was like, and then from there, I think everyone kind of skyrocketed her into some weird fetish territory. But yeah, no, I think she did a good job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how much do you think that played into the just overall PR cycle of Village?
Yeah, it was a very calculated this? Very calculated play from Capcom. No, apparently Capcom themselves were just like, well, people find her attractive, huh? That's kind of weird. Like, well,
let's just work this in here, guy. Make some 10-foot posters wherever, you know, just put them up everywhere, just get a cardboard thing, you know. And I gotta say, like, and Life is Strange True Colors is a game that I'm really interested in after playing Twin Mirrors this year, and I want to play more of the Life is Strange series. But I gotta say one thing, like, all the games we've, even if we haven't played them, they've all been like really good, and all these voice actors and actresses are like insane. I mean, I've heard at least 3 or 4 of them this year in the games that they're featured in. They've been great. They've been great. I think the industry just overall, like, the talent is just gone insane.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, definitely, you know, video game like acting has come a long way to be like actual acting, really.
Yeah. Games for impact, which means it's thought-provoking. It's a thought-provoking game for pro-social meaning or message. Which have we? Before Your Eyes, Boyfriend Dungeon, Chicory, A Color for Tale, Life is Strange, True Colors, No Longer Home.
Dude, the only game that I know from this, other than Life is Strange, is Boyfriend Dungeon, because one of the voice actors started to get like, not like maybe death threats or something, because he played like a bad character. He played like a controlling.
People were like upset. Yeah. That takes pro social meaning or message.
So he played like a character in the game that was like very like controlling, right? And then people were sending him messages. He's like, "How dare you play this character?" Like, and he's just like, "I'm just an actor.
I'm just an actor. Like, this isn't me.
I'm not acting.
I don't do this. This is just the character, you know."
Yeah, but that's all I know. Like, I don't know any of these games.
I mean, so here the one thing that I don't know Chicory. I almost looked at it because I remember you know, friend of the show, hopefully who we'll meet one day, Mr. Shuhei Yoshida, he tweeted out when it came out, and I was like, oh, this actually looks kind of interesting, kind of like a Earthbound or, you know, Mother, Undertale kind of vibe to it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know anything about Before Your Eyes or No Longer Home. And,
Life is Strange is Life is Strange. This is like, I mean, anyone listening, just like, you guys like don't play video games, but like, we played video games all year, just like not these games.
I've played 32 games on stream to completion.
Not these games,
played so many.
Like, why isn't fucking Tales of Arise in best visuals? I would have voted for that.
That, you know, would have been an interesting choice for best visual. That's art direction, so.
Or art direction, or The World Ends With You. Like, that's a, you know, put that on there, you know?
We're like, where are Japanese games?
Yeah, we're the Japanese games.
I mean, so I guess like, you know, in Life is Strange True Colors, I believe Alex is, I know she's LGBT, but I don't remember if she's like specifically, which, it sounds horrible, but which letter.
Which LGBT is?
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah.
I don't know, I haven't played the game, so I don't know.
I want to give it to Life is Strange. I know Dungeon Boyfriend Dungeon.
Dungeon Boyfriend sounds like a totally different game. Yeah, that's what's a dungeon? Like the boyfriend that's in your dungeon?
The Dungeon Boyfriend.
Yeah.
You lock him up.
Yeah. Life is Strange.
Life is
hit
Strange. I feel like Life is Strange is going to get this. I think last year we were pretty spot on. I got to say, we were pretty spot on last year.
Yeah.
Best ongoing game. You know, we have to give it. Oh, you might be conflicted. We got Apex Legends, FF14, Fortnite.
I'm watching a video that's like 5 seconds behind, but yeah, okay, here we go.
And Call of Duty Warzone.
Best ongoing game?
Best ongoing game.
Yeah, no, 14 for sure. 14.
14
for sure.
over your Apex, man. Over your Apex.
I play Apex like daily, nightly, really, but I mad respect, like tremendous props to 14 for being basically like at this point the biggest MMORPG I would say, overtaking
the
WoW.
Sole survivor.
Yeah, and just like kind of like overcoming a lot of problems. I mean, everyone knows about the legendary like launch of 14 version 1.0 that was so damn bad that Square canceled it essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead of just being like, okay, you know, game is dead, you know, we give up on 14. They like doubled down, they poured resources into it, they relaunched it as 2.0. And now it's, you know, in 2021, it's like the biggest MMO, so that paid off. The producer of 14 is now going on to produce FF16, like a mainline game.
Right, right.
So, you know, I mean, they turned it around. Like, Endwalker looks to be one of the biggest, like a huge launch for them, their expansion. And Shadowbringers was, you know, according to people, is like one of the best RPG stories, bar none. Like, not even the best MMORPG story, but a good RPG story. Yeah.
Yeah, people are... And I think this year, of course, was the year, like you said, you know, everything that's happened with Activision Blizzard from early this year. And then kind of leading into just people realizing, hey, you can play this game for free.
Yeah, 14 is a good game, and they really ran with it, you know what I mean? So they're just like, there was a point where, believe it or not, they sold out of keys.
It's not that they sold out,
it's like the allocation for the digital licensing ran out, and they had to deal with a huge influx of people coming to the servers because people are, you know, so yeah, I gotta give the 14. They really... Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, they made good with what they have this year. So
yeah, like we said, I think it's up to level 60 you can play for free, but you can continue playing. You just can't level up, and you get the first two expansions, I believe, included.
The first one expansion.
Yeah.
Or so, you change your vote to Fortnite because Naruto's
got a gun. Naruto's got a gun. Yeah. He's got a gun. He's gonna take you off.
Okay, next category.
Best indie game, 12 minutes, Death's Door, Inscription, Kena, Bridge of Spirits, and Loop Hero. All games which I've only played Death's Door, seen a little bit of 12 minutes, and I've played Kena. So I've finished two of the games on the list, and I've seen a little bit of Loop Hero.
So you can pick Kena then. I would pick...
Death's Door was legit. I mean, I definitely would say like I had a lot more fun in Kena, though. And 12 minutes. What I watched, for some reason, as hype as I kind of was for it, you know, it's got Willem Dafoe and Daisy Ridley in it for the voice actors.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a game that is 12 hours that takes 8 hours. No, sorry, it's a game that's 12 minutes that takes 8 hours.
Because it just loops, right?
It loops, mm-hmm. And there's just so much dialogue. And I never got to see the rest of it, so it gets pretty serious. The stuff that's happening in there.
Yeah, apparently someone dies. People die in it. I don't know. One of the VTubers that launched this last couple months was streaming it, and then I peeked in for a bit, but that's it. So that's all I know about the game.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll give it to a good old Kena. Hi, Kena.
Hit it up, Kena.
Gosh, time to speed through these categories. But oh wait, best mobile game. We've got Fantasian, which I really wish... You've got an iPhone. Maybe you played it, from Mistwalker.
No, because that's Apple Arcade exclusive. That's a subscription service.
Oh,
I'm not
man,
fucking
it's
paying.
Not,
yeah.
Oh, man. I really... I love Mistwalker games.
Pokemon Unite. Hit it.
You know I gotta hit that Pokemon Unite. Pokemon Unite, Marvel Future Revolution, League of Legends, Wild Rift, and Genshin Impact. Where do you think... here's a good question, though. Where do you think Genshin is now? Like, in terms of... standing with the fans and standing overall, is it kind of died down?
I think the people that play Genshin, like who still enjoy Genshin, like probably still play it. But the thing about Genshin is that like it looks, it's content drop, it's the drip feed. It's kind of like Apex, if you imagine Apex to just be like an RPG and full of anime waifus. Like what I mean by that is like you can finish the content and then you're kind of done. Like you're just waiting for content to come.
Right, right.
And then it'll hit, and you do that. You play for like a couple of days, and you'll be like, "Oh, I'm done." And then you kind of sort of stop playing Genshin, right?
You come back when the expansion comes back, or the new season kind of thing.
I think it the people that are coming back for those patches are just people that still kind of care about it, or they're hooked enough on the characters, like, oh, actually, I like that character, and they all, I want to roll for that character. But I don't know. I would say hype has generally dropped down, but it's maintaining its fan base generally, and I mean, it's obviously still making a shitload of money, so I don't know. Is it a good
True.
game? Sure. Yeah. Fine. You know what? I think it's still fun. It's okay to come back every now and then. I haven't played Fantasia. It looks really damn good.
It
It's
looks
by
good.
Mistwalker, who is a studio that, you know, if you guys haven't heard of Mistwalker, like, it's you know, the guys.
Hironobu
Yeah, Sakaguchi. It's like,
Sakaguchi.
after he left Square, he's like, I want to do my own studio. So he went on to make Mistwalker, the early days of Mistwalker, they did Lost Odyssey, which is a game that I, you know, really, really
I
enjoy
wish,
it.
I still wish I could play that game. It's
It would,
only
honestly,
on
yeah, me too,
360.
me too.
It's locked
Yeah.
away.
I know. So, like, you know, if you give any shits about, like, the backbone of modern JRPGs, it's Mistwalker. So, and visually the game looks really good. I just haven't played it because it's a mobile, it's an iOS exclusive, and on top of that, it's an iOS, like, it's an Apple Arcade exclusive. I have to
Yeah,
pay,
Apple
like,
Arcade,
I'm
which is
not,
kind of like Apple's Game Pass, you know. It's
it's kind of like
a good
Apple's Game
deal
Pass,
if you're
yeah.
using it, yeah.
And the thing is, it's like, it's Apple Game Pass. It's
It's
90%
Apple Game
shit.
Pass,
Like, no,
yeah. I mean,
yeah.
like you there's some good things there, and it's kind of, I mean, because the game itself, they went with the art direction of actually making dioramas. Like every environment in
Yeah.
that game is actually handmade. It's a
If
handmade
you
diorama.
put that game
But
on, like, not Apple Arcade,
anything else, oh, I'll get it.
if you put that even on iOS, like an actual mobile, like, you know, just it's still mobile, but you sell that for like $20, I'd probably buy
Hey
it.
man, they got the extra bucks from it. Nintendo wasn't gonna mess with it, I guess. I don't know, 'cause like, you know, they did Last Story, and I loved Last Story. That was great in and of itself
Yeah.
too. But yeah, I mean, League of Legends Wild Rift, I played for a little bit, and I have to say it's much better than League if you're playing on PC, just because they do keep the games to, I think it's 10, 15 minutes minimal, or maximum, sorry. And they kind of break it down to be really simple, a lot of fun. They give you auto skill builds. You still it still operates like League, but you know, I think they did a really great job transitioning to there. And of course, this year has just been, you know, with Arcane just now coming out and people getting hype on League. And we've got two other League games that came out, the Ruined King, and I think there's a rhythm game that they just didn't even talk about. But Pokemon Unite simplifies that even more, and I've put over 100 hours into it.
Yeah, I would say definitely
You don't cross Pikachu. Don't cross.
just hit
Don't cross
Pokemon Unite.
Pikachu.
Yeah, just Pokemon
Pikachu
Unite.
will electrocute you. That's death
Yeah.
sentence. Someone's like, what are you talking about? Best community game, Apex, Destiny 2, FF14 Online, and Fortnite, and No Man's Sky. So
Whoa, No Man's
recognizing,
Sky's on there?
yeah, recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency and responsiveness,
You know what? No
inclusive
Man's Sky
of
earned it.
they are still earning it.
They came back from, like, from being mostly negative on Steam, and they finally, like, they are now, like, mostly positive on Steam. So they, like,
They did the best
really, yeah.
180. They honestly did. I mean, Destiny has this weird relationship with the community and the community managers. Honestly, I say Bungie really loves what they do, and they make a great game, and they always are as transparent as possible, but they always release the crappiest thing and then have to backtrack on it, and
Yeah, I don't know.
that's
I mean,
that
I
relationship, you know, but
it seems like the community is at times mostly upset with Destiny. I mean, you could say that about
No,
any
yeah, they are.
game.
No, they are. They are.
You could
It's
I mean, you
a
could say that
love-hate
about
relationship.
Apex as well, yeah, but
Destiny is love-hate. Apex, I feel like they've embraced their community a lot in terms of the creators. We had the event this year where, you know, you could unlock, I think, community artwork in the game, and you know, it was drawn by fans, and that's pretty cool. You could set it as your wallpaper when you're loading screens. But yeah, I think No Man's Sky just.
yeah, I would say No Man's Sky just from what I've heard, because like I said, like when the game launched, when it launched, like 2018 or something like that, 2019, 18. It's old at this
It's
point.
old.
Yeah,
It's actually old. I mean, there's a VR
but
mode and everything in this
you do
game.
remember, like, everyone's like, "Oh, refund this game. I want my refund on No
It
Man's
was
Sky."
Cyberpunk. It was Cyberpunk at
Yeah,
that point. It just didn't get pulled out the store.
it died, you know, people stopped talking about it. People are like, oh, this game's dead, it sucks. And then, like, they never gave up on it. They kept working on it. They kept pushing updates. And finally, if you go look it up, No Man's Sky right now, it's like mostly positive reviews. So they completely turned around from like overwhelmingly negative to mostly positive. Like they stuck to it, and people started to be like, this is a good game. And, you know, like, I would say that's not giving up. So,
yeah. And before we close out on that, I have to say, like, they have the genre of, you know, survival crafting, that kind of survival crafting thing that really has become a bigger genre now. You know, they were in it from early on. So, I mean, like, you know, kudos to them for sticking with it. Innovation and accessibility, which I only know one of these games in terms of what they actually tried to do, but Far Cry 6, Forza Horizon 5, Marvel's Galaxy, Guardians, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and The Veil, Shadow of the Crown.
Okay, I kind of wish here how they would, like, explain a little bit, like, how it's accessible. Like, did they add really good colorblind modes? Did they add really good, like, hearing impairment kind of accessibility? Like,
the qualification. So this is that recognizing software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. So it's not as specific. I remember watching a dev diary for Ratchet and Clank where they talked about all the accessibility options with the different types of colorblind modes that they have, the audio, you know, impairment modes that they have as well. But I have no clue about Guardians. I don't even know about The Veil. I remember Forza having some things back in the day, like that being something that they kind of did, but I don't know how.
Yeah, like I remember Last of Us Part Two last year, the hearing impaired assist was like it would show you visually noises.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that, I think that's an example of like, oh, this is, you know, definitely helping people if you have trouble hearing or whatever, right?
Right, right.
I wish it would just kind of like tell you like a little bit like, of what, like, they how
they did it.
Yeah.
I'll say Ratchet and Clank just because that's the one I know. I remember.
Yeah, you have no idea like how far
like Sony
did it.
Like
yeah.
Sony actually put a trailer out. You know, and Sony put a trailer out focusing on this feature. And you know what it is? It's because of The Last of Us, right? I think Sony is. I wouldn't doubt that when God of War comes out, Ragnarok, and when Horizon comes out, that they're gonna have the same amount of features, just because that's a standard that I believe, like you said, Last of Us Part Two kind of set for the rest of the studios.
I mean, I definitely think it's helpful. I mean, I noticed this as an anecdote actually when I launched Halo Infinite on PC. The very first screen that you're taken to is accessibility, actually.
Really?
The very first screen when you load the game is accessibility. So it's like, are you colorblind? Here's your colorblind modes, that kind of stuff. So I mean, that's definitely like really helpful for, you know, for anyone who plays. I am colorblind. I didn't change anything. It's nice.
It is nice that, you know, you don't have to dig to the menus, you know what I mean?
It's the first thing that shows up. Yeah, so
Best VR game or AR, I did not realize Hitman 3 was
a lot of fun. Yeah,
it looks like PlayStation VR, it looks like PS
and
VR.
It's coming to PC, like, really, so I think in a couple of months coming to PC as well, but yeah. It's basically just PlayStation VR right now.
I Expect You to Die 2, Lone Echo 2, RE4, and Sniper Elite VR.
I haven't played any of these in VR, so I'm going to give it to RE4.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to RE4 too. I've seen people play it. Hero from my stream or our streams, he's been enjoying playing it. And it looks like they, you know, Oculus did a crazy job. Armature Studio.
Yeah, you have a Rift though. You could be playing this.
I could
right?
be
you
playing
just,
it.
You
yeah,
just
I could be.
You
I just haven't. Yeah, yeah. I just haven't gone back in to see myself as Leon.
Get your head cut off. Yeah.
And get my head cut off. It seems like the reload features that you have to do. It's really interactive. Best action game. We've got Back for Blood, Chivalry 2, Deathloop, Far Cry 6, and Returnal.
For the
best game in the action genre, primarily focused on combat.
I mean, then Chivalry 2, because it's like legitimately just medieval combat.
It's pure. I did watch a streamer play this, and it's a lot of fun. It looked like a lot of dumb fun. I gotta say, Back for Blood wasn't like, it was just more of what you thought, you know?
Yeah, it's Left 4 Dead.
It's Left 4 Dead. I mean, exactly. It's that. It's exactly that. Nothing else. I can't say definitely for Deathloop, because some of the gunplay in there just was kind of a little wonky. Far Cry is open world Far Cry. You know, it is what it is. Returnal. You know, I love Returnal, so my heart says Returnal, but, you know, Chivalry was good. Chivalry kind of surprised me.
Do Returnal, it. We're doing Shiv 2.
Best action adventure, Guardians, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank. How many of these games have we said before? And Village.
Oh my god. Like, what is action adventure? I don't know. Metroid Dread for Guardians of the Galaxy. Man, I don't care, man. I don't know.
Like, I don't really consider Resident Evil Village.
Well, it says
action,
like,
adventure,
combining,
right?
Combat, like, with traversal and puzzle solving. That just sounds like Dread to me, no?
That does sound like Dread.
Just, that just does. Describing Metroid Dread.
That actually does. I mean, Guardians has like simple 2000 like puzzles. Like, you come up to a wall and you're like, hey, Drax, I need you to do that. And Drax is like, I can't do that. And it's like, oh, Gamora, that's for you to move.
Yeah,
right?
So then
it's kind of that, right?
Literally just the description of combining content with traversal and puzzle solving, that just sounds like Metroid Dread to
me. That sounds like, yeah, that's Dread. That's Dread. Psychonauts 2 might actually be that. I don't know. Psychonauts 2, as much hype as Microsoft had on it before it came out, it just kind of like died. I don't know what happened to it. I think it's
because, like, they announced it so damn long ago that people are like, oh yeah, Psychonauts 2, and then it was like,
it just came out, and it
just,
like,
yeah, just
kind of
surprised everyone.
Came out.
Best role-playing.
You got it. See, best role-playing, Cyberpunk 2077. This game did not come out. Oh wait, you know what? It came out at the very end of last year, so it wasn't. I don't think it was up for awards. That's why. Monster Hunter Rise, Scarlet Nexus, Shin Megami, this is where Japan is at, Shin Megami Tensei 5, and Tales of Arise. It's all you, man.
Sucks, though. No, because it's bored, because it says, like, best game designed with rich player character customization. That's not a JRPG. You can barely customize a character in a JRPG.
That's Cyberpunk. That's going to be Cyberpunk. That's a Cyberpunk and progression, including
you
massive
can make, so you can customize your character in Rise, but it doesn't fucking matter. I guess your weapon choice and your equipment, but, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's not like, you know, it's not, it's, it doesn't, there's no progression. There's no player progression skills right there.
So, like, if we're going on character cusp, like, I don't know, fine, Cyberpunk, maybe.
No, you know,
Rise.
You know, you give it to what you want. You were asking for this. You were asking, like, where is it at?
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, I haven't played SMT5 yet, so I have to give it to Arise, because, like, I really enjoyed it. I've actually only played Cyberpunk and Tales of Arise. I haven't even played Scarlet Nexus yet. I heard it's really fun. But I haven't played anything else yet, so I only played Cyberpunk and Tales of Arise. Between the two games, I had more fun with Arise, but I spent,
more time in
Night
City?
I spent, like, at this point 80 hours in Arise, because I'm doing, like, more than one playthrough. But, like, Cyberpunk's a good game. I know it got a lot of shit at launch for just being broken, but putting bugs aside, I mean, I played on PC, Ro is a better game anyways, but, like, it's a fine game. I had fun walking past the den and being like, what's in here? Let me kill the people. You know what I mean? Like, I had fun doing that, hijacking cars, whatever. But in terms of a game that, like, actually sucked me in and, like, oh shit, mm-hmm. like, I want to play a video game today, it's going to be Arise. It was Arise, right? So
I think that's what it comes down to, like, which you had more fun in.
But that,
you know?
Okay, that's just a game, though, that I had the most fun with. Is it the best role-playing game? Debatable, honestly.
I already placed the vote.
Sure.
I don't know. Do you consider Scarlet Nexus a role-playing game? Or an action-adventure game with role-playing elements?
Yeah, definitely action-adventure, for sure.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
Like, and same with Monster Hunter Rise. Like, why is... I don't know. I've never heard Monster Hunter as a...
Because the thing about character customization is, like, technically... Yeah, you can... Like, to what degree are we talking about? Appearance, are we talking about, like, personality, or are we talking about just, like, the way that they play? Because in Tales of Arise, technically, yeah, you can customize what arts you have equipped, and
right,
you can
right.
customize, like, well, that's it, really, what arts you have equipped, and, like, how you take to combat. SMT5 would be the same thing. Like, obviously, like, everyone has different demons that they'll be using and that kind of thing. And different skills that they'll be using. Scarlet Nexus is the same deal. Like, what skills are you going to be using? Arise, it's like, what weapon are you using and what armor set are you using? So, like, what do you count by? What, in your mind, like, when people say customization, what is it? Is it?
For me, customization is armor But when you say progression, I think of character skill sets that go down a tree. Like, I think of skill trees.
Sure. So, which would be all these games, but it's not like role playing. It's not like I'm a badass car mechanic or something like that. Because that would be Cyberpunk. That's it.
Yeah.
That's only Cyberpunk.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Cyberpunk lets you choose your gender, lets you choose your background, lets you choose your personality. Like, are you gruff? Are you a rough man? Are you a corporate hog? Are you a corporate slave? Like, what are you?
Cyberpunk. I think that's kind of what I think of when especially with RPGs is, like, who am I in this world? And as the whatever character, like, what do I do? Right. And putting me as that character, which I don't get that sense in Riot, you know, in Monster Hunter, I'm a hunter, but
you're a fucking hunter. Yeah.
I'm a hunter, you know?
Yeah. In Scarlet Nexus, you're just like Kasane or Yuito.
Right.
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 SMT5, same thing. You're just that, you're that guy, you know, in Tales of Arise, you're just that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyways, whatever. Next category.
best fighting game. Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, the Hinokami Chronicles. I got stuff.
Best fighting game? Fuck it.
You know S-Drive?
S-Drive.
You know S-Drive?
Next.
You know S-Drive?
Next.
You know, don't even want to mention that Melty Blood type Lumina.
Melty Blood is so niche.
Nickelodeon
I'm
All-Star
so Brawl. Actually, you know what?
VF5 Ultimate Showdown coming back in for that free-to-play.
You know what? Well, just Nickelodeon. Just kidding. This should be Nickelodeon.
No, man. We got to support that S-Drive.
You
got to see Daisuke get up on this stage.
You can be Reptar.
Forget Reptar.
What if Reptar was in Strife?
then we would have an issue. Happy Chaos is coming out tomorrow.
Oh,
They released a video for him. He is weird. He totes a gun, but he doesn't tote two guns. And he can't block when he's shooting his gun. He stands still.
Well, it's kind of like Noelle then in BlazBlue, right?
I feel like Noelle could at least... Does Noelle have like a gun stance or something?
Her gun.
I feel like Noelle was at least still moving when she was shooting. This dude is like legit stopped. He aims. There's a crosshair that comes on the screen.
Oh shit! No, that's crazy. Then yeah.
I was like, yo, Stry, what are you doing?
Best family game. Oh boy.
This is when I'm like, I don't have a family. I can't tell you. I don't have a family in this one. Most appropriate game for the family to play, irrespective of genre or platform. It Takes Two, which I can't say my kid should be playing a game.
I would
about
feel kind of weird. I would say Super Mario 3D World, to be honest.
There's also Mario Party Superstars.
What, have you ever played a Mario Party game before?
Yeah, they're frustrating as heck.
Yeah, so no.
You wanna, it's worse. It's like the next level of Monopoly.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick Mario Party. And Pokemon Snap, I also wouldn't pick. Because for example, my kids are playing Pokemon Snap, I'd be like, give me that controller. I'm taking pictures.
I mean, you could play it together, right? Like,
No, I mean, I would watch my kids play Pokemon Snap, but I wouldn't say I would play it with them. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, at least Super Mario 3D World, like Bowser's Fury, I heard a lot of good things about that update, and it is co-op. It is... Or it has like two players or something in it.
Yeah, exactly. And WarioWare is just like, well, I don't know, whatever.
It's strange. Wario's...
I would give it to Super Mario just because it's a game that you can actually play together and it won't, like, shouldn't at least cause any kind of, like, argument.
I mean,
a Mario Party will cause you to, like, have some problem.
Mario Party would tell you to just, like, take the controller from your kid.
Yeah, and, like, watching my kids play Pokemon Snap, I'd be like, wow, you suck at this game, give me...
Oh, Papa Alex right there. Best sim or strategy game, which I have not... I'm horrible at these games. Age of Empires 4, Evil Geniuses 2, World Domination, Humankind, Inscription, and Microsoft Flight Simulator. I think we did this last year.
Did we? I don't know.
Microsoft Flight Simulator for some reason last year.
Because it's like so realistic and it's just like legitimately just like Flight Simulator. And it's like hardcore.
Everyone who cares about strategy games is like, you all suck. And now we're to the best part where we speed through. I bet you $10 the next thing is going to be esports or something.
I want to know how, apparently Microsoft Flight Simulator is like, it's 150 gigabytes. It's like Warzone size.
It has like it's legit GPS files in there.
Yeah.
Best racing or sports game, F1 2021, FIFA.
Forza. Just Just Forza.
What about Hot Wheels Unleashed or Riders Republic? I've actually seen Riders Republic. That game is kind of hype. I ain't gonna lie. It's basically like a cruising USA type style game, like an arcade racing game. But you are on either a dirt bike or what are those things where you hop off and you glide? You can glide like it's not a hang glider, but like a squirrel suit kind of thing. But it's like open world. It's MMO open world type deal. Well, not MMO, but it's really
crazy.
Oh, so it's
kind of like, what is it, Burnout Paradise?
Yes. It is Burnout Paradise on a mountain with your mountain bikes.
With your bike? I mean, that sounds kind of fun. I don't know. Have you seen more than 2 seconds of footage of Hot Wheels Unleashed?
No. I've seen probably about like an hour or two or more of Riders Republic.
Should I get Hot Wheels Unleashed? When did this game come out?
It came out very recent.
Yeah,
it came
October.
Out like
October, yeah.
Last month. Yeah. It's legit.
Oh, there's
an
earthquake. Hold on, dude, there's an earthquake.
I'm kind of getting it now.
Yeah.
See, that's what you get. That's what you get. It's like really slight for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that bad, but there's certainly an earthquake right now. Anyways, I'm going to say Forza.
We'll give it to Forza. My heart goes for Riders Republic. I hope Hot Wheels is going to get it. I have a feeling Hot Wheels actually takes it over Riders Republic, though. Yeah, I have a feeling Hot Wheels might get it. Number 22, best multiplayer. What the heck? Okay, we got Knockout City, Back for Blood, It Takes Two, Monster Hunter Rise, New World, and Valheim.
What was Knockout City again?
That is the 3-on-3 dodgeball game for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, certainly not New World.
Put that away. Put that away now.
Fuck, dude. I don't know. What's Monster Hunter? Hold on.
It's like online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op and massively multiplayer experiences, irrespective. Okay, whatever, you know. My heart wants to actually give this to It Takes Two. I have to give them something. They did an amazing job on that game.
Sure, then do it. Hit it up. Because you play that game, so if you think it's like really good, then sure, certainly.
I was the girl in that game, May.
You were the girl in that game?
She runs really fast. She's cool. She works for like NASA kind of stuff. All right, now we get to the last seven categories where we just blaze through it. Content Creator of the Year.
Creator of the Year.
Dream. Floosley. Did I say that right? Floosley? Gals. Gollies. Ebay. Ebay. Griff. I can't say half these names. Like, literally. That's like G-R-E-F-G. Griff.
Dude. Have you seen any of these guys?
I've never heard of any of these guys. I don't even look at Dream. Dream is something.
Dream wins.
Dream looks like Ehe.
Sure.
I mean, like what? Ehe is like. What are you talking about, bro? Best debut indie game: The Artful Escape, The Forgotten City, Kena, Sable, or Valheim. I feel like Valheim might get this. I mean, we're going all the way on the Kena train.
Kena.
All the way on the Kena train.
Yep.
There we go. Valheim might get that. Sable is really interesting looking, too.
I know Valheim was like really popular this year. I know a lot of people were playing. They're like, Valheim's the best. I'm like, oh, that's good. But I don't know.
It's that crafting survival genre, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know how, like...
I can never get into it.
It's the genre that I don't give a shit about.
It's for me, too. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And then finally, esports.
Elden Ring, next.
Most important... Most anticipated, really? Elden Ring over God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, the sequel. Look, I love how this is the sequel to The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
It's not, they don't even have a name for it. They don't have a name for it. Or like, whatever it's going to be called, but I don't fucking care. I don't know.
Starfield, which we have a trailer of, a second small trailer.
I'm going to say Elden Ring personally, because that's at least my most like anticipated game, and also like. I think it has the most appeal because God of War is sure that's a huge name in gaming, obviously. But it's still like kind of like a Sony kind of franchise, right? Same with Horizon for Horizon Forbidden West, actually. But Elden Ring is just like it's multi-plot and it's the first in a series. And if you are like, oh, George R. R. Martin wrote the game, kind of, that sounds cool. I mean, I think it just has the most appeal.
I think it's going to have Yo, boy, Kratos, man, he goes too hard. But I mean, Elden Ring, the open beta or the stress test happened.
Yeah,
that went over really well. That was only a small size of the world. I mean,
like
this was
section of the world. Yeah,
was stupidly huge. I think a lot of people were kind of saying, and as much as I watched, yeah, it's like taking the best of the Souls, putting it in a game, putting it in like an open world environment instead of having stuff sectioned off or you looping or going to places.
Yeah.
All there. It's just wonder, do it. Just do.
Feel like it just has the most wide appeal, mm-hmm. and it's multi-plat and has the big name behind it. Everyone's sort of Dark Souls. I mean, everyone's sort of God of War, obviously, but like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
God of War is man, it was... It's a tough thing, but you know what? I think Elden Ring does nudge it out just by a little, and it's coming out pretty soon. So I think Elden Ring is a good safe bet on that one.
Just a sequel to Legends of the Breath of the Wild, like, yeah, okay.
the sequel to that one game. This was presented by Prime. The best esports game: Valorant, League of Legends, Dota 2, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, or Call of Duty.
No, well, Apex. Not Call of Duty.
No Apex there. Wow. Just
well, it's not. I mean, it's, I don't Apex.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No Call of Duty there. Valve, I forgot. This is what Valve makes money off of even more. I keep forgetting
e-sports,
all the skins from this. And
just in terms of like esports.
It's Valve and
like,
Riot. Jeez. Valve and Riot.
Yeah. I'm going to say either Dota or Counter-Strike. Those are my personal picks, but I don't know, man.
I'm more on the Valorant. I'm in the Riot camp. I think these are two different audiences in terms of like, obviously these are the same games. Legitimately, they're mirror images.
It's like
of each
League
other.
Of Legends versus Dota 2, yeah.
They're mirror yeah. images.
Well, I mean,
of
like
each
Valorant's
other.
Like a little bit different from Counter-Strike, right?
It's a little bit, yeah.
Because it has abilities. Yeah.
Right. But fundamentally, yeah. Structure wise, go defuse the bomb, that's there. I just lean towards the art style and kind of characteristics and characters.
I'm thinking, I'm thinking in terms of not as a video game per se. I'm thinking mm-hmm. in terms of like a sport. Like which of these games has which of these games has the larger turnout? Like which events are bigger? Which has the most sponsors? You know what I mean? Like that's
definitely
what I'm thinking. Yeah,
yeah, it's definitely the international with Dota 2 and or you know Worlds with leagues. And then Counter-Strike is just always there. You know what I mean?
Because Counter-Strike is Counter-Strike. It's, you know, it's Counter-Strike.
It's
so.
Counter-Strike. I don't even know if it's recognized. Rainbow Six isn't up here, interestingly enough.
Yeah, if you ask me, like, what is the best video game, I personally probably wouldn't pick Counter-Strike. But if you ask me what's the biggest esport, I would maybe pick Counter-Strike. Because, like, so I don't know.
Let's go with the Counter-Strike, you know?
Is Counter-Strike the biggest game still, though? Like, does it have the biggest tournament, like, the most turnout, like, the sponsors there, like, are the eyeballs there?
You know, that's the thing I don't know because, you know, that community is really far from me. I know a little bit with Dota in terms of, like, when the international comes up. You know, when, like, their yearly event comes up, you know, especially for Worlds with League of Legends. Because Worlds, they coincide everything with League for that event. So Arcane released the Friday of Worlds. They streamed it on Twitch. You know, that became a huge thing. They released two other games and then they also did the Project L, you know, the fighting stuff, or they released stuff around that time as well. So that's like what they do. But Dota 2 just has a crap ton of prize money.
That's the thing.
Million?
Yeah.
Was it 10 million this year or something? Some stupid number.
And I just feel like, you know, is that part of it? Like the tournament with the biggest prize, like, does that make it legitimate? Also, what's missing is fucking Overwatch is missing, but...
Overwatch died. Died. They could only choose one Activision Blizzard game. Why is Call of Duty only Activision?
Why is Call of Duty even on here?
I don't even know. You know what? Let's go with Dota 2.
Dota.
I feel like League might... can we go with League?
Sure.
That's really cool.
Yeah, no, League is cool. League has that cool K-pop band, so whatever.
Yeah,
man.
KDA, man.
That's fine. Their songs are cool. Yeah.
We might know some of these people, right? Best esports athlete, Chris. Can we say his name on Twitch? Can you even say his name on Twitch?
No, you'll get banned.
Yeah. And then we've got the Showmaker, we've got Collapse, we've got Simple, and we've got Tins, because their real names are harder to say.
Yeah.
the real names are hard.
Dude, I have no idea, dude. I don't.
Who looks the coolest? Who looks the coolest?
Obviously, Simple. Like, what is he holding?
Simple is holding a...
What are those? Like,
are these, like, cards or something?
Yeah,
like,
what are those?
Hold on, let me go. This is, like, as close as I could get. I don't know what... those have to be some card decks, but I can't tell.
Yeah, so he obviously looks the coolest, so definitely that's the one.
He's keeping it simple. We'll keep it simple with Simple.
Yep.
We're almost fine. We're almost done. We're almost to the end.
Like, we get to the end categories. Like, I don't know. Like,
number 28, best esports team. Do you know any of these? Atlanta Faze for Call of Duty.
Did you say Faze?
Is it Faze?
It's Faze.
Is it actually Faze?
Yeah.
Is there something else called Faze?
No.
Okay. Well. Sorry, Atlanta Faze, for saying your name's wrong. The DWG KIA. I don't think that's supposed to be said any other way for a League of Legends. Not as Vincery.
Vincere. I don't know
for Counter-Strike. Sentinels else. For Valorant.
Valorant, yeah.
And then Team Spirit for Dota. Oh, gosh. Team Spirit?
Team Spirit, do it.
I love this image of Team Spirit.
Yeah,
this,
they're reigning in it. Yeah,
they are actually like, that's
Team
won. Spirit.
Yeah, they got a vote for them.
That
they won, obviously.
They're like in the gold, too. Like that, yeah. you have to give it to Team Spirit.
Yeah, they're wearing their mask. They're being, you know, responsible.
No one else here has mask on.
Yeah, exactly. Team Spirit wins.
Team Spirit. Yeah. Yo, let's go. Best esports coach. Silence. There's a guy whose name was Silent, so I mean.
Esports coach.
Esports coach.
The guy in the suit.
Who looks like a coach?
Guy in the suit, yep.
We can't even give names to them because their names are even harder to say than the actual players.
Guy
besides Silence and Crowder. We went
guy
with K-Koma.
Or K-Koma.
And the best esports event. We've got the 2021 League of Legends Worlds Championship, the International 2021 for Dota, the PGL Major Stockholm 2021. I guess that's for like Counter-Strike or something. PUBG Mobile. Gaming. The PUBG Mobile. PUBG Mobile is better than like PUBG normal now. Like that's
what?
They've done it.
Oh my god.
And the Valorant Championships Tour Stage 2 Masters.
I have to say either International or the League, but if you want to say PUBG Mobile, go for it, man.
The International just has a picture of a shield. Everything else has a picture of like a physical part of the venue or something.
Yeah.
There's just like an imagining. There's like a CG shield on the screen right now. Let's give it a PUBG.
PUBG Mobile. Not even PUBG. PUBG Mobile.
Just because it's PUBG Mobile. I didn't know that they had their global championship was PUBG Mobile.
Do
they have like a
normal PUBG?
Do they have normal PUBG, I wonder?
I don't know, man.
Crazy.
It's funny that it has to be like the mobile version of it, like not even the actual like.
Maybe one day Apex Mobile will be like that, you know?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that game.
It's still being tested, you know, they're still testing it. Unlike the Switch version, which is just...
It's whatever it is, yeah.
It's whatever it is, you know.
Oh boy, that was a while. What time is it, man?
It was an hour. We did that in an hour. It's 9:55. I haven't eaten anything.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, I'm going to try using my air fryer and see how that works. I got some chicken skewers. I'm going to see if I can
had
do it big.
Cheese toast.
Did you put some mayo on it?
I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
My chat got obsessed with some mayo.
I also Japanese put mayo. Like Korean hot sauce on it. It was pretty good.
Korean hot sauce?
Yeah, you know the, how to explain it? The, what is it, bulldog?
Oh,
like the spicy.
Oh, the red
yes.
kind of paste?
Yeah. I put that on my toast. It was really good.
Oh, that sounds really good, actually.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to do it for us this week. We've overstayed our welcome.
We just talked about video games. Half of the show was just like, I didn't play this game, whatever.
Which has to say something. Like, I wonder how many people actually played all of them. How many people played half of them? Because
I mean, it depends on definitely where you're coming from. It's definitely a question of like market demographic. Like, certainly, I think if you are probably North America, you're way more have likely to play those games. You know what I mean?
Right.
I just like didn't play those games because I was playing not those games. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, like, yeah, I played a couple of them, and I, you know, for as much of it matters, like, I kind of wish there were more more diversity list of games on there. Like, there was a lot of stuff that was just repeated, but maybe that's just indicative of the year it's been. Well,
like,
for the industry,
it could be also,
you know?
Just like those games are apparently very good. So for Deathloop, for example, to get nominated for multiple categories, narrative and voice acting and best game,
right.
and art direction and everything, you know, if they got continuously nominated, then surely it's just a good game.
We could
take a look at Death Stranding, which got nominated multiple times, you know, last year or whatever it is, right? So,
friend of the show, Kojima.
Yeah, thanks, Kojima. So we'll still on for lunch next week, or like?
Yeah. I heard you start a new studio for acting. Can I?
Yeah. Kojima Productions, I believe they opened, they announced they opened a studio in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, which is weird because they actually had a studio in LA.
They had Koji Pro. When Koji Pro was still Konami, Konami closed the Los Angeles studio, and then, you know, Kojima opened a new Koji Pro, and now he's like new Koji Pro in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
he's just building his legacy back up from where it was. Yeah,
from the ashes.
Yeah, from the ashes, like a phoenix. But no, I don't know. I mean, what did I play this year? Honestly, like I played, fuck man, Tales of Arise. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like, what did I actually play? Like, looking at my games, like on my shelf behind me. Maybe I think this year it was just all catch up. I think it might have been all backlog.
That's, I mean, outside of like Kena and It Takes Two, like everything else I think was just backlog for me. I played a lot of backlog games, and it was good, you know. I played Bayonetta again this year. Like, what the heck?
What are you looking forward to then next year? So a full year has gone by, we're looking at the Game Awards again. Like, what games do you think you'll have played and, you know, you'll be able to talk about?
Honestly, there's not a lot that we know about next year. I feel like
Elden Ring,
outside of Elden Ring, God of War, Horizon, like two of those games I won't be able to play. Elden Ring might be the one, you know, because I've been itching to go back into a Souls-like game. I just recently bought Dark Souls Remastered. And I have, you know, Sekiro and then Code Vein, and I've been wanting to stream one of those games for the longest. So, and of course, Elden Ring, I'll probably just be streaming that and then jump from there, you know, if I finish it, because Elden Ring might be the game I remember the most, just because I won't be able to play much more. Everything else might be backlog after that.
Are you gonna buy a PS5 next year or no?
No, I still don't think I'll buy a PS5 next year unless I can walk into a store and get it. That's still my criteria.
That's like, the only criteria.
If I can walk in the store, or just like if I can comfortably purchase it online or offline without having to kind of be on top of it, then yeah, I might get one.
So you, like, let's say you walk into like a Yodobashi Camera or something, and it's like PS5's on the shelf, and you're like, oh,
yeah.
Would you get one? Even though it's like, what are they, like Rokumon or something, like MSRP?
$500, $600 or whatever. Because I would probably get the discless version.
You would just drop them. You would just drop the cash right there. You'd be like, sure, yeah, I'll buy it.
I would drop the cash right there, unless I take a smart approach and upgrade my TV first.
Oh, you have a 1080p TV, right? You don't even have a 4K TV.
Yeah, and it's like a 32-inch TV, but I have enough room for like a 60-inch at least. Should I just get a flat? Get that ultra thin?
The thing about console gaming is like, do you think, like, most people with consoles are playing at what, 4K, right? HDR 4K.
Yeah.
I think, like, and conversely, if you're playing on PC, you're more likely to be playing at like 1440, and then at 120 hertz or something like that, right? Or 144 hertz.
Yeah.
That's an interesting, like, you know, not like divide between console gaming and PC gaming, because they're both very good experiences, but like one is just more like, you know, it's 4K 60 HDR, and one is like what, less resolution but faster refresh rate.
It's an interesting thing. Like, honestly, I think the smart decision would be maybe upgrade my TV. This TV is like 10 years old at this point.
It's probably cheaper for you to buy a 4K 60 TV. Well, I mean, they're all 60.
Yeah.
It's probably cheaper for you to get a 4K TV than it is to get a 1440p monitor.
Yes, with all the bells and whistles.
So yeah, I guess just get a TV
Let's get a
then.
TV, some cameras, stream upgrades.
Speaking of cameras, by the way, speaking of stream upgrade, the Amazon Black Friday sale was on for like another day. I actually bought a light, so you can probably get a light as well. It's on sale.
A light?
My light, this light above me here, actually, I have a light above me, my edge light to light my hair and stuff. It died last week.
Oh, okay.
So I just bought a new one. Just came in today, actually. I'm
You know
using
what?
it right
Maybe I
now.
should get
Yep.
a ring light for the like my face.
Sure. I mean, if you think you're not
Maybe.
well lit, maybe you want to be a little more well lit, but yeah.
Yeah, well, next year if I can switch my room to be more of a stream looking room, I might be a
Sure.
happier camper.
Get a green screen. Be on a beach. Stream on a
Oh
beach.
gosh. I don't want to be on a beach. Hate the beach.
Sure. I don't know, the mountains then.
Anyways,
All
that's gonna do
right.
it for us this week.
Yeah.
We're gonna go back to our houses. We're already in them, but we'll go back and do what we gotta do. As always, remember you can follow us on YouTube at Unknown Games Podcast. Go ahead and subscribe. We are dropping content, shorts, and episode clips throughout the week. So be sure to support those videos, like them, subscribe to the channel as always, and then leave us a 5-star review or three,
Yeah.
three, four, five. It don't take nothing less.
Preferably five.
Yeah, on iTunes or those fancy services. And follow us on Twitch. We do stream pretty much every other week between us. I am on Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Ninja Tricks, and my co-host is at Route 24, streaming Tuesdays and Thursdays, Japan Standard Time. Japan Standard Time? JST,
It's JST, yeah, Japan Standard
yeah.
Time.
So
But it
check us
should just
out.
be Japan time, because there's no like.
There's no unstandard time.
Yeah, it should just be
It's the
JT,
same.
I guess,
There's
really,
just
yeah.
JT.
JT.
Yeah, so
Anyways,
that'll do it
yeah,
for us this
probably
week.
definitely come hang out and chat. Let us know what you would vote for in our chats, or I guess on Twitter, but whatever.
Exactly. And if you made it to the end of this YouTube video, you are a champion. That's it. We'll see you next week for episode number 111 of the Unknown Games Podcast, where we really talk about what you did to become a champion.
Sure.
Probably wasn't much.
Man, campaign's already. It's like December next week. Holy shit.
Why?
Anyways, see you guys later.